Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Talking about Anna Karenina, part 8, chapter 17. Boom! Lightning. What does it mean, though? What does it all mean? Ivan Norwegian said, I was worried about Kitty for a second there, but I've joined the what is happening and why is the book still continuing, people? And that's an achievement. Because so far, I haven't been near having that feeling during a single moment of any of the books we've read so far, except for The Enormous Room, but we don't talk about that. What is happening? Why is this book still going? And so, this is a book about a doomed affair. You know, a lady who falls from social grace and eventually kills herself. And then there's 18 or so chapters about nothing. Like, it's a book, and then it's a bunch of nothing. a bunch of not relevant crap. I don't understand what. Why does he do this at the end of his books where he's just like, and there's that was the book. Now here's what I think about current things for 18 chapters. Swim said the one fishy said, although there was a lightning strike in this chapter, so that's something. Swim said, danger, Will Robinson. I'm referencing the 1963 Lost in Space robot, not the 2018 reboot. Of course, the original. Will Robinson is a precocious 19-year-old in the first season. He is a child prodigy in electrics. Why are we reading about this? I don't know why we're... I don't know what's the reference.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. No, Will Robinson. Danger.
Thanks for that, Swim said the moment fishy. I don't really know why you wrote that, but I do love it, so thank you. All right, that was the conversation. That's it. That was all. No McDonald's tonight. Although now I've said that, I really feel like it, but it is 2 in the morning, so I probably won't get 2 a.m. McDonald's. Yeah. Chapter 18 goes like this. Throughout the whole day, amid most varied conversations in which he took part only with what one may call the external side of his mind, Levin, despite his disillusionment with the change that should have taken place in him, did not cease to be joyful, fully aware of the fullness of his heart. After the rain, it was too wet to go out walking, besides which the thunderclouds had not cleared from the horizon, and now here, now there, passing, thundering, and darkening along the borders of the sky. So the whole company spent the rest of the day at home. No more disputes arose. On the contrary, after dinner, everyone was in the best of spirits. First, Katavasov amused the ladies with his original jokes, which, on first acquaintance with him, always pleased people. And afterwards, encouraged by Koznishev, he recounted his very interesting observations on the differences in character, and even in physiognomy, between male and female houseflies, and on their life. Koznishev, too, was in good spirits, and at tea, led on by his brother, expounded his views of the future of the East in question, and did it so simply and well that everyone listened attentively. Only Kitty could not hear him to the end. She was called away to bath Mitya. A few minutes after she had gone, Levin, too, was called to her in the nursery, leaving his tea and regretting the interruption in the interesting conversation, yet uneasy as to why he was sent for. As this only happened on important occasions, Levin went to the nursery. Though Koznishev's plan, which Levin had not heard to the end, of how a liberated Slavonic world, 40 million strong, should, together with Russia, commence a new epoch in history, interested him very much as something quite new to him, and though he was disturbed by curiosity and anxiety as to why he had been summoned, yet, as soon as he had left the drawing room and was alone, he immediately recollected his thoughts of the morning, and all these considerations of the importance of the Slavonic element in universal history seemed to him so insignificant in comparison with what was going on in his soul that he immediately forgot them all and returned to the frame of mind he had been in that morning. He did not now recall, as he had done before, the whole course of his thoughts. He did not now need to. He at once returned to the feeling that directed him, which was related to those thoughts, and he found that feeling in his soul yet more powerful and definite than before. Now it was not as it used to be with him when he had invented ways of tranquilizing himself, and he had been obliged to recapitulate the whole train of reflections in order to arrive at the feeling. Now, on the contrary, the feelings of joy and tranquility were more vivid than before, and his thoughts could not keep pace with them. He went through the veranda and looked at two stars that had appeared on the already darkening sky, and suddenly he remembered, yes, as I looked at the sky, I thought that the vault I see is not a delusion, but then there was something I did not think out, something I hid from myself, he thought. But whatever it was, it cannot have been a refutation. I need only think it over, and all will become clear. Just as he was entering the nursery, he remembered that it was what it was he had hidden from himself. It was that if the principal proof of the existence of a deity in his revelation of what is good, why is that revelation confined to the Christian church alone? What relation to that revelation had the Buddhist and the Mohammedan faiths, which also teach and do good? It seemed to him that he had a reply to that question, but he had no time to express it to himself before he entered the nursery. Kitty was standing with her sleeves rolled up beside the bath in which the baby was splashing about, and hearing her husband's steps, she turned her face towards him, beckoning him with a smile, with one hand supporting the head of the plump, kicking baby who floated on his back. With the other, she squeezed the water from a sponge over him, regularly exerting the muscles of her arm. "There, come and look, look," she said with her husband when her husband came up. Agatha Mikhailovna was right. He does recognize. The point was that Mitya had that day obviously and undoubtedly begun to recognize his own people. Directly, Levin approached the bath and he was shown an experiment which succeeded perfectly. The cook, who had been called specially for the purpose, bent over him. He frowned and moved his head from side to side in a protesting way. Kitty bent over him and his face lit up with a smile. He pressed his hand into the sponge and bubbled with his lips, producing such a contented and peculiar sound that not only Kitty and the nurse, but Levin too, went into unexpected raptures. The nurse lifted the baby out of the bath with one hand and poured fresh water over him. Then he was wrapped up and dried, and after a penetrating yell, he was given to his mother. "Well, I am glad you are beginning to be fond of him," said Kitty to her husband, when with the child at her breast she had sat down in her usual place. "I'm very glad, for I was beginning to be grieved about it. You said you felt nothing for him." "No, did I say I felt nothing? I only said I was disillusioned." "What? Disillusioned with him?" "Not so much with him as with my own feeling. I had expected more. I had expected that, like a surprise, a new pleasant feeling would awaken in me, and then instead of that, nothing but repulsion and pity." She listened attentively, replacing on her slender fingers across the baby the rings she had taken off to bath Mitya. And above all, the anxiety and pity were far greater than the pleasure, but today, after that fright during the storm, I have realized how much I love him. Kitty brightened up with a smile. "Were you very frightened?" she asked. "I was too, but to me it appears more dreadful now that it is past. I shall go and look at that oak. But how nice Katavasov is, and in general the whole day has been so pleasant, and you are so nice to your brother when you like. Well, go to them. It is always hot and steamy here after the bath." Alrighty, there we go, another chapter down. Have your say about that one. Over at the Hemingway list, we've got babies taking baths and Levin doing thinking about stuff. doing thinking about stuff. Thank you very much for listening. I will see you tomorrow for the very last chapter of Anna Karenina. That's exciting. See you then.